Button.
The baton has been passed. I mean, pressed. One of those.
Thank goodness.
Button.
The button stops here.
Button, button, button.
I've named it Benjamin.
The baton has been passed. It must have hurt worse than kidney stones.
Oh.
And hold on, why is the counter going down instead of up? Oh, because I named it Benjamin. Oh, never mind. Sorry. It's time to end this. Because we're at the beginning of the recording.
Yes.
Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics Season 4. This is episode 32, Reinforcements. My name is Crash. I will be your GM for the evening. Yes, EO, I have been infected. There are other games besides D&D. Saying it before you can. Tonight, I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Crash, Ellie, EO, and Jen. It's been over a month since we sat down to play this game for various reasons. Pulling count. and a few other things. So, who remembers what happened last time? I'm not including the less than half an hour of a recording we tried to do once.
We defeated all the dragon gods and they showered us with gifts and made us rulers of the planet.
And then you woke up.
Unfortunately, that was a dream. It was a wonderful dream. And then Deza woke up and had a perfect photographic memory of the dream because of certain abilities that Deza has.
Yep.
Alas.
So, a few things took place. You made a dragon god very angry. I mean, you did that before. But they were still angry. And you didn't have the good sense to die when the dragon tore apart the mountain you were hiding in. And then Pertinax the White, who is the dragon god in question, sent minions after you. And you
still didn't die.
Yeah, you defeated some of them. You told one to sit, which broke part of your ship. And then a bunch of mimics ate the rest of them, which was fun for everyone but the things being eaten.
And then we healed mimics.
And then you healed mimics, and they helped rebuild the part of the ship. And then you went back to the oasis, where the moon-touched Karasites at their base. You reconnected with, what's his name? Now I'm blanking on it. The blue dragon.
Mm-hmm. Whose name I also remembered until you said it. Dirkia.
Dirkia, yes. And then a glacier attacked. Oh, you also
Everything
fought
changed a, when the glacier attacked.
Yeah. You also fought a demon skeletal manticore thing.
Oh, right, that thing, because we were looking for magic weapons.
Yes, you were looking for magic weapons.
In a graveyard.
That you
Mari
definitely
was
were not
right.
Leaving.
That was, yeah, Mari was right. That was not the best of ideas. I think Mari had the right of it here.
But it's okay, because the glacier had a magic weapon embedded in it.
Uh-huh.
And also you were rewarded with a few magical items for, you know, making sure the glacier didn't reach the moon-touched Karasites. Uh-huh. In the process, however, the front of your ship was smashed, the back was smashed, the bottom was smashed, one of the sides was smashed. Pretty much most of the ship wasn't there anymore, or it was there, spread over a wider area.
This is kind of the Shrike ship of Theseus now.
Well, the ship is whatever is attached to that crystal, and the crystal did not get smashed.
Uh-huh.
However, a significant portion of all of your rations and snacks have been spread out over the ash wastes.
Whatever lives there will probably be happy.
They're the ash wastes. Not much lives there. That's part of the problem.
Well, then maybe something will start living there.
Deserts can be very habitable ecosystems for creatures that have evolved to live there. The ash wastes. The ash is somewhat toxic, so not much ends up living there. Think Pompeii immediately after the eruption that destroyed Pompeii. Yes. Or Pompeii after Pompeii stopped being emperor.
I was just thinking that maybe I should, you know, get rid of some of the 310 pounds, the rations that are on my character sheet.
Oh my. Okay.
Or at least make it a note on my character sheet rather than having them in my inventory, because right now I'm carrying 375 pounds.
Oops.
We're wrapping up spring break at the time I'm recording this, even though this goes live in August, but never mind about that. And I've been playing a lot of Skyrim and Fallout 4, so I'm just imagining Bapaki just like walking slowly forward with a movement speed of 5 because Bapaki is over encumbered with over 300 pounds of rations.
The rest of the group swings by on the ship. Why aren't you on the ship? I can't fast travel.
But technically there is no max encumbrance. You can carry whatever you want so long as it is at a movement speed of 5. So if everything in the ship was trashed, Bapaki could pick up the entirety of the wreckage and that at a movement speed of 5 walk towards the oasis.
True. Now that there isn't a Ben Bar's lift gates anymore.
I'm glad that I played those editions, but I will not play them again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there was a lot of smashy smashy. Fortunately, the oasis has a lot of trees. They're a primary source of lumber for this particular continent because they have a lot of trees, because they have a steady supply of water. So,
and hopefully lumbar for whoever has to sit in the captain's chair.
So we got this sponsorship deal with Secret Lab. How do you feel about faux leather padding?
Can we get me one of those gamer helms?
To get one of those, you need to accept the sponsorship of one of these gamer drinks. It tastes like chemicals. Not the good kind of chemicals.
I don't like chemicals. Oh, well,
I mean, some of my best friends
are telling me I need more energy.
Yes, but that's diesel fuel. That me, not that kind of energy. The GM will give himself inspiration. And Ellie made me laugh, but Papaki already has inspiration, so Papaki gets nothing. This time. So it takes a while to rebuild the ship.
And in the meantime, we must be on the lookout for more glaciers.
You certainly do keep a watch for glaciers and other agents of Pertinax the White. However, you don't encounter any. Things get disturbingly quiet.
It's not entirely true.
Dirkia is still giving the kids dragon rides. There is a lot of screams, but they're screams of joy and terror, and occasionally someone throwing up while they're over top of a populated area. Which leads to more screams.
Thankfully, those are Papaki has evasion.
No, I'm not in Foundry.
Oops. Oh. Not that we're doing much currently, but yeah, for dice.
All these things
Sori is glad to see that Dirkia is getting on well with the small bipeds, because this looks like the beginning of a beautiful alliance.
Give me an insight check.
Some of them are while you're doing that, some of these are teenagers.
I can't, the game is paused.
The game should not be paused.
Well, it's not
pause
now.
It,
okay.
Unpause it.
How do I get Steam out of big picture mode?
There's a F11?
Yes, thank you. Weirdly, this is still big picture mode.
Oh, weird. It's just not full screen?
Yep.
Okay, with an 18. As an 18. On one hand, you could say, oh yes, Yurka is getting along just fine with the little humanoids. That's great. On the other hand, it's not unlike somebody who has a bunch of pet mice.
See? Exactly. They're getting along great. Dirkia has all of these wonderful pet mice, and it's a wonderful alliance, and Dirkia can add them to his hoard, so to speak. And this means that they'll grow up thinking of Dierka as their dear friend, and if anyone tries to mess with Dierka, then they will try to help Dierka. So it's an alliance, see?
On the gripping hand, Dierka is not the one who needs protection.
At the moment. I mean, if other dragons tried to horn in, then there would probably be a certain amount of, you know, people trying to shoot other dragons.
And Ellie brings up a point to Sori's perspective. Because these kids are teenagers, Sori is shorter than they are. However,
well, yeah.
None of you are taller than Dierka.
Uh-huh.
So there is also that.
I mean, they're little humans in... from Dierka's perspective.
Okay.
We're all little from Dierka's perspective. Dierka has so many pet mice.
So what are some things that the party start thinking of doing while they are waiting for the Shrike ship to be repaired?
Sori is praying, hopefully, for some kind of resolution that will mean that the nice dragon gods are rewarded and not brought low, and the mean dragon god is completely smote.
Boop, boop, boop. The prayer you have dialed cannot be reached.
I mean, she's used to this.
Itachi's gonna go walk around and look for shinies.
Now I'm imagining Sori getting a wrong number. She gets the sound of somebody picking up and saying, "Hello, Teriush." No, I'm Teriush, sorry.
Teriush, deliver a message to God? Number. Oh. Alas, alas. Also, I suspect that Sori is the one who is doing most of the coordination with sending to get messages here and there. So, yeah, you know.
Itachi is not good at that.
Itachi didn't realize that Itachi could use the sending spell that they had for quite some time.
She's not that smart, you know.
Itachi is incredibly wise.
I am still getting used to the fact that on the quote new character sheets, the official ones, if I mouse over a thing, then it brings up the actual it brings up the full description just by mousing over it. And so I keep clicking on things, which is what adds them to the chat sidebar. Anyway, no, I am not hexing anyone.
Not with that attitude.
Hmm. Oh, my insight check is done in private.
Also, I have learned how to take arrows that have been added in Obsidian and move them away from the source block of text. I didn't know I could do that. Now I do. I didn't want to do that. Okay, well,
I don't know what we're talking about.
I'm trying to figure out how to set myself. I'll do that while Bipaki is doing things.
Right click on your name in the lower left where it says players, right click on your name and then select user configuration.
Thank you.
And for my case, I was complaining about the note-taking app that I'm using for my campaign notes. Because I like it. It's the best one I've used so far. But also, I am learning new things about how the interface works that will be very useful, just not right now.
That's an entertaining bug. According to the players list, Io is playing the character Long.
I don't think it's a bug. I think it thinks that's Longcap's first name.
Ah.
The last name is Time.
Anyway.
Longcap Time.
No. Man, I think I should be going.
You okay?
That's a joke for you Boston fans out there.
I like the part where we talked about puns and time and long for a long time. Anyway. So, yes, you are told that the Circle of Tales ship, just the one, is en route, but that's going to solve a lot of problems and cause a lot of problems, but they will be different problems. So that will be better unless it's worse.
I mean, Sori has mentioned that the fire dragon seems nice and that she hopes that the people who are coming have some way to mitigate harm to the dragons who are being nice.
This is in no way canon, but as soon as you said, well, the fire dragon seems nice, I wanted to go in into my Monty voice and say, is she seeing anyone? That is not canon. Monty is not interested in seeing anyone.
What? She can't put semi, she can't put dragon, ancient dragon dating service on her resume. Matchmaker.
Oh no.
Monty is capable of flying anywhere on the planet. Therefore, Monty is not interested in being in a ship.
Mm.
If you catch my
meaning.
Oh,
soon there's going to be a teleport circle. What, he's not into shipping?
Monty is not into being shipped. Monty is not cargo.
He's not a commodity. Sorry.
Yes.
But is he into shipping wars?
No.
It's difficult to ship wars, and they tend to trash the vehicle en route.
It depends on the vehicle and what exactly.
See, I thought you were going in a different direction with that, and I was going to say, well, I mean, Hetalia did it successfully for a long time.
True. No, I was going for shipping, you know, the
yeah.
Well,
we might ship them a little.
Partway through, before the Shrike ship is fixed, a bunch of Cobalt harvesters start crawling out of the tunnels.
Hmm.
Yay, maybe they fix the interior.
And repairing the track.
Yay! Which tunnel?
The tunnel that you took the car through to get to the interior.
So from the interior, not from the other side. Obviously.
Well, they gotta make their
bottom.
Way there. And that's gonna take some time. But this is part of it. One of them delivers a message to the party, and the message is pretty much, hey, and I'm paraphrasing here, but so it's going to take some time to get all the repairs done, but did you know there's another way into the center of the planet?
Oh, right, through the volcano.
Yes, which was revealed in the less than half an hour recorded episode. So that is not canon. None of that happened, but now this part has happened. Think of it as the extended universe. No, that's not right.
Okay, kind of.
What's it called for all the Star Wars stuff that's no longer canon, but it used to be canon?
Legends.
Yeah.
Expanded universe. Legends.
Expanded universe.
All these,
which is also legends now.
Yeah.
But also, Crash, weren't you asking us what we were doing in a particular period of time?
Oh, yes.
That's right. Longkip has things.
Hmm. And I don't think Bapaki has said either.
Well, I am eager to hear them.
Bapaki hadn't thought of anything, so Longkip, you go ahead.
So, what do the people do with the bones of the animals they butcher?
Some of them are ground down into powders. Some of them are composted. And I'm realizing it's Necromancer asking these questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to have to put that long pause in there after I remove it in the edit.
Yes.
What does Longkep have in mind?
So remember how the pile of bones doesn't have to be humanoid?
Oh, no. The GM says with a smile on his face.
Longkep has preparations to make, and by preparations, I mean friends.
A bone pile is just a friend you haven't made.
Yet.
That was some severe paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the GM is all in favor of this. There are many people who are horrified by this, if they find out.
Natasha's going to go look for shinies, wherever they are.
The market has tons of shinies.
Hmm. And I don't think she has any money to pay for them, though.
You stopped the oasis from being trampled by a walking glacier. I'm not going to say they give you the most expensive shinies, but the little shinies that are more like sold for a couple copper or one copper to kids as toys to play with until they break. Let's just say that if you wish to be covered in shinies draped around you on like strands of leather and string to the point where you are barely recognizable as a kobold and instead look like a Muppet.
A walking Mardi Gras.
This is a thing that Utashi can do if Utashi wishes to go that far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's gonna do that. She's gonna come back all covered in strings and shinies and
it's
a walking pile of Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm.
You hear some swishing, clinking, and tinkling sounds, and you all turn and see Utashi buried under shinies, shuffling their way to where the party's been sleeping.
It's a walking disco ball.
I'm not a disco ball. These are just shinies. I had a bunch.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm sure we can arrange your hoard.
They make me happy. You want one?
I assume that they make you happy by glittering and not because they are magically affecting your emotions.
Hey.
Wrong Kip, what is this happy?
I'm sure this has been explained to Long Cat before. Sori will help arrange all of the shinies into a hoard.
That if the shinies were attached to this cow skull, people would stop staring at it like it is a horror.
Mori has not stopped staring at the cow skull as if it is a horror.
But it's just a cow skull.
And I mean, Mori, you can have a couple of shinies for it if you want.
Mori is slowly shaking her head no in answer to Longkep's question.
Sori agrees that probably the shinies will not help the cow skull.
Okay.
Possibly painting it a nice pretty pastel would make it look more like a knick-knack than a goth thing, but the shinies would probably not help.
Mori is still shaking her head no. It is the same speed as before. Slow and deliberate.
Why? A nice paint so it doesn't look so bone?
The only way to make it look less bone would either not allow it to be used in the way Longkep is using it, or would be much more disturbing because you'd be applying muscle and skin to it.
That only works on humanoid corpses for some reason.
Why am I surprised that you know this?
Sori, you read about that, right? You haven't been doing that to humanoid corpses without me knowing, right?
No.
Longkep is hiding a humanoid skeleton behind their back. The humanoid skeleton reaches up one hand to cover its mouth as if that would do anything. It's a skeleton.
It's a skeleton.
I'm not saying that's canon.
No.
What do you have? A humanoid skeleton! No!
No!
We see Longkep down on all fours running, carrying a humanoid skeleton. Oh, I love this game.
Going to have skin and things on them. They are not skeletons. They are zombies.
Can we make any zombies?
No, we should not make zombies. Zombies are unhygienic.
Yeah.
Also, for totally unrelated reasons, let's not cover it in carpeting.
Okay. Hey, Mori, you want a shiny?
They make me happy. Maybe you'll be happy too.
Yes, I would like a shiny very much. Thank you.
Okay, pick one. Whatever you want.
Maury just grabs a random one. But unfortunately, it was not one of the most recent ones provided. So therefore, like the string that's holding it to Utashi is like tangled up in several other strings, and it takes them a good 10 minutes to unravel it.
Okay. At least she's not going to be worried about the cow skull anymore while she's untangling all the shinies.
Oh, it takes 10 minutes because she's still worried about the cow skull.
Why don't we go untangle these shinies over here?
Hey. Yes, that's a wonderful idea.
Start walking
that,
over.
That adds another 5 minutes because Utashi is like so. Movement speed of 5. Utashi is slowly shuffling their way over to that spot over there where they cannot see the cow skull.
Yeah.
I mean, cow skulls have to.
The puppy is overseeing the construction of the ship.
Sneakily?
Yeah, that, what you're posting in the chat is pretty much what the Pocky was doing during that chat. She had been tailing Utashi to make sure Utashi didn't get into too much trouble.
Utashi would never have noticed.
Yes, but others would have.
Yes.
That now she is, basically sneaking around to. She's doing the rogue threat assessment thing, which she's not very good at, but she wants to be useful. But mostly during this time, she is overseeing the construction of the ship. She has opinions.
Mm.
Also, a not insignificant number of the people who are being supervised have never even seen a sailing vessel.
Yeah, that's fair.
They know how to attach wood together. They know how to turn it into planks. They know how to get it to be various shapes. They didn't necessarily know that they needed to caulk in between the planks in order to make sure water doesn't pour in.
Yeah, it's tar is usually what's used, but I'm not sure that's in real abundance here. And so if you have like plaster, that'll do, which you can make with ash and some of the resin from the trees.
We've got beeswax. Would that work?
Oh, beeswax is great. Just don't start licking it. Some people lick it. I don't know why. Don't lick the beeswax.
There's like one person who's like, they might be like 11, that they're helping their dad, who's like, their tongue is out and they've leaned halfway over and they just look over at Papaki and then pull their tongue back into their mouth and stand up straight again.
Beeswax, it's like chewing gum.
No.
There was this one place. There was this one place we sailed to. It was really interesting. They had bees that made hallucinogenic honey. It was fascinating. I tried some, and then I woke up 2 days later, and I didn't have any money. Thinking about it, not my best idea.
From now on, Papaki sticks to rum.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's gone.
You're out of rum.
I don't suppose you make sugar cane here. Grow sugar cane, I suppose.
No, we do not.
What do you do for, beets? We could do vodka.
We make mead.
Could you make rum?
Have we mentioned the bees?
Mead. Oh, mead. Uh-huh. You can get a long way on mead. What's the fruit?
We also have a lot of apple trees, so cider.
Yeah, all right. Apple mead. Yeah, I can see that.
No, don't mix those. That's not a good mixed drink.
Oh, do you make cider with the apples then?
Yes. Yes, that is what you make with apples.
Bird stuff.
Among other things.
Scrumple. Well, most apples aren't good for eating. I mean, you could put them in pies, but...
What do you mean?
I mean, well, here, try this.
Okay. She'll try anything once.
Okay. It's... the most sour and bitter apple you have ever had. Kobold lips are not like human lips, but you kind of want to have your whole face like shrivel up into your mouth.
That's phenomenal. Extraordinary. I've never tasted anything like it.
Do you like it?
I hate it.
Yeah.
She takes another bite.
That's why we turn it into alcohol.
Yeah, I can see that, but I bet I have a market for these.
We're listening.
About a month's sail away, there's a place that's always complaining that their apples are too sweet. That they can't do anything but make pies with them. And they don't even need to sugar the pies. But they're so sweet, they burn out. If you eat them raw, they burn out your taste buds. And I bet I'll have to think about this.
The person you're talking to, whose backstory I am not giving, names the town you're talking about.
Oh, you know them?
Yes. We do a lot of trade with them.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah. But we haven't traded.
Then you've already got this under control. Well, try selling them some of your apples. See what happens.
I think we might. We didn't realize that they wanted apples that were less sweet. They've been exporting their pies, actually.
Yeah, I bet. With where they are, you'd think they'd just chop down the trees and plant something else there. But no, it's got to be apples. They have a shrine to apples at somewhere in the town. And anyway, wouldn't be the weirdest shrine I've seen.
Yes, that's very weird. And the person just sort of like shifts a step to the right so that they're blocking your view of their shrine to apples. Totally weird. Don't see why they would do that. Also, technically, it's not a shrine. It's just, you know, like something we set up in the orchard and put little gifts in front of. But it's not a shrine.
If we leave little gifts in front of it, then the next harvest comes out better.
And for the last time, Mom, it's not a cult.
I mean, you might actually get something that worked out that way if what you put there was an attractant to bees over the, you know, lean season or ahead of the blossoming. So.
But without proper grafting, you're not going to get trees to replicate apples the way you want them to.
That's the truth.
So.
Every apple seed is random. You roll on the random apple table.
And they're all horrible because all the best ones are grafts.
Well, no, sometimes you get decent apples that are from seed and then they grow it up and they go, yes, okay, these apples actually work. These are decent apples and we will make a new variety. And we will graft these apples all over the place because every apple from every apple seed is another roll on the random apple table. And most of them are horrible.
I had a realization this week. This is relevant, which is that the phrase as American as apple pie is really funny. If you know that apples are an old world fruit, they don't exist. They didn't exist in North America before 1492.
Well, considering the people who say it are descended from colonists.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying.
It still works. But not for the reason it really does.
And all the planting of apples was apparently a colonization thing, because if you planted a whole bunch of stuff that was an orchard and you could prove, if you could prove that it was your land or something like that, is what I recall reading recently. And I don't know if it's true or not, but it would not surprise me. Someone else can look it up on Wikipedia.
And Ellie, what were you saying?
I was just surprised that I remember being surprised as a kid to learn that Johnny Appleseed was actually a real person and not like a, like, you know how, like,
Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan, right. Or Pecos Bill.
Yep.
Not like Johnny Appleseed wasn't a metaphor for the spread of apples across North America. He was an actual guy.
And the apples he spread were not for eating purposes. They were for people to make hard cider, or as it was called,
right,
Applejack. What socket? No, I'm not feeding you again. You're on a
never?
Diet.
You never feed Socket again? You never feed Socket again like the poor starving Victorian
orphan? And every time I leave, I leave him forever.
Jail for trash. Jail for 1,000 years.
Uh-huh. And
my my great grief, the you're going to want to cut this out, Crash.
Give me a second.
Just going to mute it.
Not now.
No!
I'm tempted to leave in the you're going to want to cut this part out, Crash, just so I can include the not now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or maybe I'll include the not now with no context at all. There's been no context.
I think there should be
the whole time.
Oh. Yes, well.
That's over there. It's one of the water sources.
Indeed.
There's also a
indeed.
No well. And a maybe well. They call that area the well.
How did we? Yes. Yes, they do. And everybody who comes up to it says, what have we here?
It's a well, actually.
Everybody who comes up to it ends up having strong feelings about the explanation they are given. Not all of them think favorably upon the name. The locals really enjoy giving the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It is not always the same explanation.
But we got here because Bipaki was talking about beeswax being used to seal the gaps between planks on the ship's hull.
This is true. Yeah. And we train a thought at it for a significant amount of time. I love everything about this. This is, by the way, kind of how I thought tonight's session was going to go. I'm okay with this.
Sorry, what are you doing?
Sorry is playing Uhura. She is opening hailing frequencies all the time. Well, right, not all the time, but frequently. She is praying because the fire dragon god was nice and polite, and she knows that's because the fire dragon god wants something, but she was still nice. She was being nice about it and not being horrible like the white dragon. So she is praying for some kind of favorable resolution for everyone concerned except for the white one.
Parthenax.
Is that Parthenax or Verth?
No, it's Pertinax.
Pertinax.
Yeah. Which is
Parthenax is Skyrim, isn't he?
Yes. And
yes,
he's not
Parthenax
an evil dragon.
Is Skyrim.
Yes. Pertinax, which I wasn't even thinking of Skyrim when I named Pertinax. When I was originally naming the dragons, I started off looking at Roman emperor names. And there was a period of time where there were 5 really bad emperors. Pertinax was one of them. Was not on the throne very long. Left the throne the way many emperors left the throne.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was one of the 4 emperors, wasn't he? In the year of the 4 emperors?
Yes. It didn't go very well.
But anyway, Sori is trying to pray for the good results for people who have been nice to her and playing messenger go-between, answering questions, no doubt, etc. And probably, healing people who get injured in the area because, well.
There's questions from back home about what survivors, who survived, where they are. Can you get in touch with them?
She can try. She's met them. She can send you sending.
Okay. Well, Deza, you know where Deza is.
Right.
Which Deza, I'm assuming, is still trying to be as managerial as possible at the Dragon Forge. Well, Cobot
yes.
Forge.
Whatever forge it is.
Yes, it is a forge. It's dragon themed.
Oh, I should level her up.
That would be cool. Actually, that would be the only cool thing because it's very, very warm in the Cobot Forge.
Yeah.
But never mind about that. People thought it was lava. It wasn't. It was nanites. It's fine. It's not gray goo. It's glowing red goo.
I'm just going to sit here having a concern, that's all.
Hey, strictly speaking, that's better because they provide a source of light.
And heat.
I'm going to sit here and just have my concern quietly. I'll sit here with Maury. Yeah. Yes, the player is sitting with the NPC.
The Ogmanites do not know anything about this, which is probably for the best because the Ogmanites would wish to research the Nanites.
Just as long as they don't go swimming.
Look, all I'm saying is just a teensy little drop of anti-Nanites just to see what happens.
No.
Just a little sample.
You're doing? No. Yep.
That's not canon because Bindle Brightlight, not Nightlight, is not coming to this world. Bindle has enough things to do. Bindle would not volunteer. If offered, Bindle would turn it down. Anyway.
The only useful thing Sori is doing is probably healing people who are in need of it.
Fall off the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Other random damages that happen, et cetera, she has healing spells, and this is how she's useful.
Some of the citizenry avoid the kobolds still because you're still walking monsters or tiny dragons or long dragons, as the case may be, or they're fairly certain that cow skull is following them with its gaze as they walk past. Possibly because it is following them with its gaze. That head turned. It swiveled.
Uh-huh.
There are others who come over too often, mostly children, who like come over to Sori for like every scrape and scratch and cut. And the bruise little, that isn't little necessarily scrapes and visible. Cuts.
Mm-hmm. Some of those get cleaned off and let me just check to see what her cantrips are.
Oh, so you want to trip these people? Is that what you're saying?
No, no, she'll just...
You're looking for ways that you can trip them?
No. But I'm flat, flat, flat.
You're looking for prestidigitation.
True, but what she's probably going to wind up doing is a lot of casting the light cantrip and on, you know, the Band-Aid, and then putting the special magic Band-Aid over things, effectively.
There are children who will come up to me saying, I need a Band-Aid because I'm bleeding, and they'll hold up a finger with, like, a single red dot on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a few times where I was certain it was pen.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times where it was very obviously marker. I tell them, a Band-Aid's not going to cut it. We need to amputate. Hey, let me get my bone saw.
And then they yell no at you.
Yes. Or they don't realize what I'm talking about. And then I take the edge of my hand, like the part of your hand that has the pinky and that side of the palm. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing a karate chop, I just move it back and forth over the limb that has the injury and go, shh, 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 shh. If they're wearing long sleeves, I tell them to pull their hand into the sleeve. Like, look, there we go. No, no more injury. It's gone. Problem solved. By this point, they've totally forgotten about the Band-Aid.
This makes sense.
Yes. Well, this primarily works with kindergarten and first grade.
The others don't come up asking for Band-Aids to have Band-Aids?
Others will come over to me asking for Band-Aids just to have Band-Aids. From them, I tell them, like, look, it is not bleeding anymore. The Band-Aid would serve no useful purpose whatsoever and would actually hinder healing at this point. If it won't stop bleeding, that's a reason for a Band-Aid. Do not make it bleed again. So stop squeezing it.
Ew.
Actual conversation. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
So, I'm not going to make this a thing. Like, please do not pause to deal with this, but everything I type in the text box in Foundry is appearing twice.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Fascinating.
Huh.
I wonder.
Hmm.
Ellie, you have an echo.
I do. I'm cursed.
Oh, no.
It's probably because you've bound yourself to the crystal what's it, so clearly it's echoing what you type.
Ah, that makes sense. That makes
Ellie
sense.
Has invoked duplicity.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
Anywho.
I was just saying that with the rub of scintillating colors, Utashi is, in fact, a disco ball.
Yes.
That's right.
We gave you the shiny robe. Yeah. Oh, I don't think we went over in the recording what you all got, because we did that
right
in the partial recording.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, Utashi got a robe of scintillating colors.
Mm-hmm. Forgot about it. Put it on today. Has to be around all the shinies now.
The robe was underneath the shinies, so you took off all the shinies, and there was more shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Utashi's coat was elegant. The cut was fine.
In college, we would parody it by saying, "In his dazzling coat of just one color." His amazing coat of just one color. It was green and green and green and green and green.
Mm-hmm.
And glitter.
Glitter. Uh-huh.
What did Sora get?
I don't remember. You got a thing.
I'm trying to remember what I got.
Well, I got a sword that shoots lightning and a ring that helps me not get cold and a little half cloak thing that makes it so spells don't work against me.
It's not all powerful. Spells don't work against you, but it helps.
Yeah. Spells work less against me.
You know what? I don't think Sori ended up getting anything.
Really?
I don't see anything in Sori's character sheet.
Yeah, I know. That's what the thing is, because I thought that she got a ring or something.
Sori should get one of the things that I have then.
Where's my list?
There is absolutely no reason for me to have three things and someone else got none. I argued against me getting two things.
My wondering is, did we say that Sori was going to get one of these and forget to put it on the character sheet?
I think that's probably the case.
So, Mantle of Spell Resistance, Robe of Scintillating Colors, Staff of Fire went to Longkep because I think you need to be a wizard to use it.
You need to be a wizard, a sorcerer, or a druid, and we only have one of those in the party.
A ring.
The Staff of Fire was going to go to Deza. The Staff of Defense.
Mori.
We might have given that to Mori.
Uh
huh. And the Astromancy Archive went to Longkep.
Deza has levels in one of those classes.
Deza's a sorcerer. Oh no, Deza's a warlock. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while. Deza's patron shows up, grabs Deza, pulls Deza into the ring, and says, "Look, I know that I'm not manifested in the material plane, but I'm right frickin' here."
Oh.
Don't go around calling yourself a sorcerer. Anyway.
I am no mere sorcerer. I am Nihilus Aran.
I will not move when flame wreath is cast or the raid blows up.
I remember that.
Yes. My first time getting to that fight, it was hammered into us by the raid leader that we needed to make sure we didn't move. And then she moved when Flame Wreath was cast. She was the one who blew up the raid.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sori, you should have the Mantle of Spell Resistance.
There was also a Ring of Cold Resistance. Who got that?
I did.
Okay.
I did not realize that Sori didn't get anything in that whole hashing out session.
Well, neither did the GM. So...
yeah, please take the Mantle of Spell Resistance and give it to Sori. Especially since Sori is one of our healers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Utashi's kind of a healer, but she forgets to do it.
Okay, I see it now. It requires attunement.
I have attuned it to you already.
Oh, okay.
And I have removed it from my character sheet.
I liked having it on your character sheet, but just with the number that you have reduced to zero, just to confuse people, specifically you, but then you said, no, I'm going to do it the correct way. Yeah.
So I have the lightning weapon and the ring of cold resistance.
All right.
Sori has the mantle of spell resistance. Utashi has the robe of scintillating colors. Nobody has the staff of fire because I think we all thought it was going to Deza.
Longcap has it.
Longcap has it, but doesn't have it.
Longcap is attuned to it.
Oh, really? Okay.
And Longcap can always pass it along.
It's not crossed out, so I just assumed.
Also,
why would it be crossed out? In Discord. Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking in other.
Mori has the staff of defense instead of the thing that she pulled off her doorway when we first left that city.
Oh yeah, she broke that.
And Longcap has the astromancy at archive.
Yes. And the astromancy archive in particular was part of the angel ship that brought you here. It fell off around the same time everything else fell to pieces and physics happened.
So much physics.
Yes.
That was bad.
So in addition.
So can we know what happened? Well, the front fell off.
I think of that every time I talk about something falling off the Shrike ship, to be honest, every single time. But it's okay. You're not in the environment anymore.
Yeah, we've towed the Shrike ship out of the environment.
And into another environment.
No, out of the environment.
But where is it now?
Well, it's out of the environment.
This sort of thing doesn't happen often. They're not supposed to do that.
No, no. Almost never.
I mean, it happened this one time, but...
Right, really. But almost never.
What, never?
No, never.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever.
You know what? We've been playing for just over an hour. What do you say we take a short break?
Yeah, all right.
Valid.
I have a taxi to take home. Well, I had a taxi to take home. Well, the front fell off.
It's okay. They towed the taxi out of the environment.
Yeah. I mean, what better place to have a taxi, right?
The best part is, somewhere in this conversation, we paused the recording to take a break. Where did we do that? I'll never tell.
The actual Australians who are listening to this are going to be really offended by my accent. But, well, I do the best I can.
I thought it was New Zealand.
There's a difference, I think.
There is a big difference.
There's a slight difference.
Yeah.
And people get very upset if you confuse them.
But I'm confused all the time.
That's my secret, Cap. What's going on?
I'm always confused.
Now, the thing is, I grew up in Australia, which means I spent 3 months there when I was 6 years old. But so my Australian accent is based on the Australian accents that I heard. That, granted, this was 38 years ago, so it may have changed, but I'm just saying.
The best accent I can do that isn't just my normal speaking voice is Pennsylvania Dutch, because a significant portion of my family, German immigrants from before the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. When I get tired, my Chicago accent reappears. I'm like, all right, fine. You know?
The best part about Pennsylvania Dutch is they use German word order, but English. Don't you know? So instead of saying, throw my hat down the stairs, you say, throw me down the stairs, my hat.
Okay. Yeah, that tracks.
And throw the cow over the fence some hay.
Fair. That's all fair. Right.
It does work. My grandmother, who lived with us, used to speak in German when she was especially angered at my mom. They didn't get along. I don't know what she said. She said, I'll tell you when you get older. And, I never did.
Whoops.
My dad
spent.
Yeah.
My dad spent some time when he was in the Air Force stationed in Germany. So I might recognize a few of those words because being the loving father that he is, he shared what those words mean with his children. My mother was less proud.
If you don't know what the words are, how can you know if you're using them appropriately?
Right, right, yeah. My mother's mother was... Go ahead.
This is what EO basically did, cornered me when they were, like, in first grade or something, and made me say all the bad words so that they would know what the bad words meant and what they and wouldn't use them by accident.
I get it. Yeah. My mother's mother was Irish and spoke fluent Celtic with her two half sisters.
Oh, wow.
And when I was really tiny, and I don't have a whole memory of this, but I was like, I don't know, maybe three. And I was like playing with some toy. And the three of them were talking in a language that they didn't think I would understand. And so there's a point where, like, what I figured from it was the last phrase was I didn't know what language they were speaking, but I mean, it was like three, but they'd end their sentence with whatever that phrase was. And so I'm sitting here playing with a toy of some kind, and there was a pause. They didn't say it, so I repeated what I thought they'd said, and her sisters just fell out, you know? And she just sent me to another room, like, I'll tell you when you're older, but she didn't make it that long, so. Yeah, it was just, they thought it was the funniest thing ever, you know? Three-year-old mimics.
Speaking of conversations, which is rather
mimic. All right, we should have one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sori has been asked to contact everyone who Sori can contact. You are not able to get a response from Molo and Ertos. There are a variety of reasons why you might not be able to contact them. Some of them might involve a dragon god. They might not all involve the mountain falling on them. They tried to leave the environment followed them.
They might just not be replying?
They might not be replying. They might be in an area that is heavily shielded or warded against scrying or transmissions. If you're trying to hide from a god, you pull out all the stops.
Yeah.
But the answer is, the gripping hand, I suppose, is that they are not considered invalid targets for sending.
I mean, how would you know?
I think the spell fails if the target no longer exists, but maybe not.
Sori, give me an Arcana check.
This is not.
Sori, I apologize for causing you to make a roll.
Give it an advantage.
No. It's
because you've been doing a lot of sending.
Arcana at advantage.
That's okay. A nat 20.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes.
All right.
So the funny thing is, it says you got
an. And nat even 20. With the nat 20, the roll is a 19.
Yeah.
So. You are aware that, yes, if you try to send a sending to someone who is dead, you get the boop, boop, boop sound. However, also, if they're warded against scrying, sometimes you get that sound. Sometimes, well, there are, if they're in the phlogiston, you get that sound. There's,
do we even have the phlogiston blew anymore? Up,
but yes.
Yeah.
And you would know this by now because Circle of Tales would tell you. The phlogiston fell off. It fell into the astral plane and did like 1 point of damage to everything in the astral plane. Unfortunately, for a particular domain of dread that was made of nanites that was spread evenly throughout the astral plane, that was enough to destroy it, in theory. But never mind.
Hooray.
Yes. And there was much rejoicing after they ate Robin's minstrels.
Yes.
So you can be hopeful that Molo and Ertos are fine, just fine. How are you? However, there is also the possibility that they are the mortar between large chunks of mountain. Mm-hmm. You cannot confirm nor deny any of this. When you do reach out to Navix, you get a reply. Just two words. I'm busy.
Well, at least we get a reply.
Yes. Now, the way sending works, you don't hear background noise, but part of you thinks that there was the sound of crackling flames, or concerning. Maybe it's just your general experience with Navix.
I mean, yeah, that's...
I mean, you haven't known many druids right. Who would wield fire as much as Navix wielded fire at level 2.
Uh-huh.
Running around going, fear me!
I mean...
He got the first magic item in the game and he left.
Which, for the record, no one in this group is bitter about. Time zones are a horrible thing. And
yes,
Chris is in Scotland. He's gamefully employed in Scotland. He has a day job, emphasis on day.
On the other hand, it is a little bit concerning. Does this mean that magic items are somehow unlucky in the campaign?
I give them to all of you, which, so the Tarrasque wakes up.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Every world has one. Actually, that would be really weird if this world had one. How would it have gotten here?
I mean, maybe worlds just sort of spawn them like eggs.
And canonically, there is a Spelljammer world that is referred to as the planet of the Tarrasques.
Oh, no.
If your planet doesn't have a Tarrasque, store-bought is fine.
What kind of store sells Tarrasque?
I don't want to go to that store. Well, it must be coming from whatever store I just stomped on, right?
I mean, how big are Tarrasques when they're first hatched?
Instant Tarrasques, just add one. They're like sea monkeys. You get a tiny little packet.
Oh, no.
How long does it take a Tarrasque to grow to full Tarrasquitude?
Maybe less time than it should.
You can't have a planet without a Tarrasque, and since they were building a planet, they had to get a Tarrasque.
They just took it upon themselves to elect a Tarrasque of the day, which is just a kobold with a sign that says Tarrasque.
Mean.
They spend their day going around the tunnels growling and biting things.
I'd like a job like that.
Mom said it's my turn to be the Tarrasque.
Anyway.
Bitey has found their new calling.
Molo and someone didn't get a response. Navik said I'm busy.
Yes.
I have big Game Master vibes, even when I'm not Game Master.
You should. The question is, do you use this power for good or evil?
Evil.
It depends on what you consider gaming, getting the game back on track.
We can't get it on track. I'm not sure if the train is repaired yet.
You should know by now that my campaigns are heavily influenced by player decisions, and therefore, you are helping me to lay the tracks.
I'm sorry. What I meant was getting the session on track.
Oh, is that what we're doing? I thought we were painting a tunnel on the side of that wall there that the tracks are going up to.
No, we're painting a cow's skull.
And sorry, the rose is red.
Yo.
What?
I was not expecting the cow skull.
No one
expects the cow skull.
It's been painted red to match the Spanish Inquisition. No, I finished my water.
Oh, good.
I should have gotten to get
the
more.
The cow skull's chief weapon is surprise.
Surprising creepiness. Its two chief weapons are surprise and creepiness and ruthless efficiency. Its three main weapons are fear, surprise, ruthless efficiency, and following you with its gaze and walk. Look, I'll just reanimate it again.
See, I was going to say an enormous fanatical devotion to the Pope, which also would have horrified Maury.
Yeah.
Maury has resting horrified face at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Poor Maury.
Yeah.
Poor Maury.
Oh, I just realized the thing. Utashi gave Maury a shiny. It's a memento.
Yes, poor Maury.
No.
Maury's name is two puns. Memento Maury, and also Maury's father is named Povich.
Povich. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He is the father.
I'm going to be in a nursing home at the end of my life, and I will remember that Maury's father was named Povich.
I've only said it twice.
Anyway, so the harvesters have come up to deliver the message that there is, in fact, another passage through the volcano.
Yes. Well, this volcano is...
And we just have to repair it. This volcano, specifically.
Don't repair it. That was
just
that.
Has to be. Okay, so don't repair it because that would be bad.
Yeah.
Instead, keep using the tunnel.
Oh no! You can fly through the volcano. If you repair the volcano will be filled with lava. Then you can't fly through it.
Okay. The volcano should stay broken.
If it's broken, it's a way to the inside, which the Cobots hypothesize might be why the inside is filled with dragons.
Because they've been coming in through the open chimney.
Yes.
So maybe we should repair it.
Then how would you get in?
Through the tunnel.
The ship won't go through the tunnel.
That would be much more fun to take the ship.
But I'm overseeing the construction of the ship.
Yes, but you've been doing it for a few months now. It's just about done.
I could make it better. Stronger.
Skinnier. Faster.
Technology.
Skinnier.
You'd have to take the wings off.
It doesn't need wings.
Yes, thing. It flies magically. However, what you have noticed in your test flights without the wings is that the wings provide stabilization.
Like cattails.
The ship can remain in a location, but it will tend to rotate during particular...
Behold, I have created ship. You've ruined a perfectly good bird is what you've done. Look at it. You've given it dysphoria.
I don't know what that's a reference to.
You've ruined a perfectly good monkey. You've given it anxiety. I've created man. You've ruined a perfectly good monkey is what you've done. You've given it anxiety.
I still don't know what that's from.
You don't know the meme? It's a meme.
I do not know that meme.
Is it monkey?
You are here at the moment where I learned this meme.
It's a meme? Okay.
It's a, I think, a Tumblr or a Twitter one or something.
It's Twitter.
At least that's where I found it. It might have come from somewhere else, but mostly I know it is that meme.
I will have to research it after the show.
Yes. Anyway, you've ruined a perfectly good X, you've given it Y is the meme format.
Okay.
Okay.
Behold, I have created the Cobot Forge world.
I'm giving it anxiety?
Kind of.
Maury would like to agree with the statement.
Well, at least it's got dragons. Poor world. Yeah. Poor Maury.
Aww. One of these I'm going to have an episode named Poor Maury. That might be a whole arc.
I think in spirit, that's every episode.
Every episode since you met Maury.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after Maury had the realization that those weren't fever dreams.
This is, in fact, real and terrible.
Which would also mean that Maury did, in fact, defeat Enelithid at some point. Which is more worrying than Maury realizes it is.
More.
Do you consider yourself to have a brain?
Why do I feel compelled to say no?
Wisdom.
Funny you should say compelled.
Do we want to go down the rabbit hole volcano?
Depends. Are you late?
To a very important date?
That is kind of a fraught question. Isn't the problem that I have with this whole plan is that isn't the forge where Deza is not on the inside of the planet?
It is. It's on the inner surface. It was.
I thought she was. I thought she was at the one that we got to before we went to the inner surface.
That's where
we dropped off one of. We dropped off Cog.
One of the Chipped Claw brothers. Yeah, Cog Chipped Claw.
Oh, okay.
The one halfway
through. All right. So Deza is still at the one on the the one on the inner surface. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
The one where Deza's met the white dragon? Red dragon?
We killed the white dragon and we met a red dragon in the red forge thing.
Right.
And we clonked the poor fellow, probably bit his tongue or something because... I think someone told him to sit, and he sat in lava.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, someone told him to sit.
Yes, someone said sit. Someone likes that far too
someone
well.
Someone watched Inuyasha one too many times. Anyway.
Just going to whistle innocently. So innocent.
Your halo appears to be tinfoil.
Ignore the stick that's holding it up.
I know!
That's what they all require these days. It's perfectly normal.
Also, it appears to just be wrapped around a baked potato.
Baked potatoes are tasty. Anyway, are we going to go down and visit Deza?
Yeah, let's get back on track.
No tracks down there. Sorry.
Well, the question is, are you going to wait for a train car to arrive so that you can take the tracks and leave the strike ship behind, or are you going to take the strike ship with you and go through the volcano? You have both of these as possibilities. They both have their benefits, their pros and cons.
I mean, one of the benefits is that we have transport. You go, Ellie.
Napaki would prefer to take the ship, especially since she has... if she can't get rid of the wings, then at least she can make them collapsible.
Fold those wings.
So she is going to insist that they be able to fold inward, more like a bat than...
Oh, I see.
Whatever this is.
It's more Bethanavian now. Sorry.
Processing.
There is one issue
with... I am still mostly made of wood.
Oh.
Well, I mean, yes, but...
Yeah, but the wings are made... The wings can be made of, like, canvas or muslin or, you know, some kind of collapsible material that can fold in.
Thus begins a conversation where... percentages of what, how much is muslin and how much is wood are shared. But the DM can't be bothered to go into those details. Anyway.
The idea is that the ship can sacrifice maneuverability for narrowness or for speed.
And possibly for dive bombing.
Right.
Like a peregrine.
For speed. Exactly.
Mori goes a whiter shade of pale with the discussion of dive bombing.
I think that we need to make sure that there are little loops everywhere on the ship that we can put a safety harness clip to.
Oh, yeah. Napaki will also have insisted on inner rails.
For when you're in the inner world.
For when we need to clap.
For when people need to grab onto something.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, when Ertos designed this ship, they were already installed.
Well, great.
The only reason they were there is if they weren't put back when those parts fell off.
Does this Oasis have metal working?
They do. They are a trade center. There are not many permanent settlements in the Ash Wastes, and this is one of the few. So they have more industry than you would usually find.
Well, I'm going to spend my inspiration.
Uh-oh.
Much better.
There we go. I want to talk to the metal workers about, can they make, metal cables?
You mean like chains?
No, I mean, I suppose chains would work if they were light enough, but metal strands long enough that you can braid them like ropes.
Well, there are ways to make wire out of metal. Usually that's done with, silver or gold, but that's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about iron or steel.
It'd be harder to do, but it could be done. Why do you want to do this?
Because you can use them like ropes, but then you can fuse them to themselves. Or you can clamp them.
So I'm not going to roleplay this further because Jen's having a bad allergen day.
Yeah.
But... congratulations, you've done what Scotty did when the Enterprise went back in time in one of the movies and created a new industry A without keyboard. Having to say hello to the computer.
Computer!
I don't know how that happened, but my microphone turned off. There is one more thing that I would like to... there is one more concept that I would like them to... do they know the concept of springs?
You know what? I need to make a roll.
Okay.
Because are there people on this world who understand the concept of springs? Absolutely, yes. Do these metal workers understand the
concept of springs? Do these specifically, these specific people?
They have no idea what you're talking about. Which is supposed to make sense
because I'm gonna have to sit.
If they would have known what you were talking about for making thin strands of iron if they knew about springs.
Right. I am going to sit down and explain to them the concept of carabiners.
As gears turn in the GM's brain for how this is going to affect the campaign moving forward. You thought an army of kobolds appearing on this planet was going to change how the game is played. You're right.
Nope.
But this might be
it's more wire severe. Cable and carabiners.
10 years from now, the Karasites are waging a bloody conflict across the surface of the planet with giant spring-loaded contraptions firing harpoons attached to metal cable.
Well, that should be entertaining.
At least all I've got my things that you can clip to your belt and then clip to one of the rails.
But Pocky's That's walking fair. Away from the conflict, playing with the carabiner as one does.
Wearing sunglasses.
Cool kobolds don't look back at bloody conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Or explosions.
Mm-hmm.
But Pocky pulls out a pair of sunglasses. I guess you could say they put the sunglasses on. Spring is in the air.
Oh. Oh. Ow. Ow. I did. I am dead. 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 Kaput. D-E-D. Ouch.
The GM will award himself double inspiration because he already had it.
The player is not awarding herself inspiration until the GM does it.
That's right. You spent your inspiration.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
There you
Finally.
Go. You got it back. I'm so used to you having inspiration. It didn't occur to me that you spent it, which meant you could earn it again.
I think that may be a record.
Uh-huh.
Roughly 3 minutes between spending my inspiration and getting it back.
No, I'm fairly certain that you won it back within 10 seconds at least once.
Yeah, all right, fair.
By the way, when I
made that... The problem is not me having inspiration. The problem is not me having inspiration. The problem is that, honestly, I get inspiration so often that more often than not, it's discarded.
This is also true.
Oh, anyway. Yes.
I swear, I thought the bucket was full.
But there's a hole in the
bucket. No, that was blood. Dear Liza?
Dear Liza.
Anyway.
Renaming?
What I'm trying to do is get the Oasis dwellers to invent something that people can clip to the rails in an emergency. So that we don't have people falling off the ship.
Right. Going off the rails.
When you're on a flying vessel, going off the rails is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is why you want the carabiners.
Yeah. The ship is not on the rails. The ship should not be on the rails. The rails are on the ship. You're not locked in here with me. I'm locked in here with you. Wait, no, other way around. Never mind. Never mind. Moving forward or crab walking sideways. One of those. So these are novel inventions. Suddenly, every backpack you see within the next 2 weeks has at least one carabiner attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
People are going around with keys attached to carabiners. Mm-hmm. There's even some people
who have
carabiners attached to carabiners.
Again,
one metal worker came up with the idea of painting carabiners in different colors, and now they have collectibles.
All right, so we have a ship that can go down through the volcano. We have a volcano that the ship can go down. We have devices that can attach us to the ship, so when we're going down the volcano, we don't fall off the ship. What do you say we go visit your friend Desi?
Journey to the center of the Earth!
Yeah, except we're the lizard people.
Yeah!
Sleestak? What's a Sleestak?
I don't know. They're in the Lost World.
Honestly, knowing us, we'd consider that a Sleestak is obviously just another sapient lizard species, and we should try to make friends.
Yeah.
That oddly doesn't move this mouse much when it talks.
Yeah, well.
Because it was made on a TV budget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay, so you're going to take the volcano.
What do you say? Let's take the volcano.
Carefully. To make sure it's really broken.
About 4/10 of the way down, Mari suddenly remembers that halfway through your journey, last time, gravity inverted.
Again, carabiners.
Always make sure you've got at least one or maybe two carabiners attached to a railing at all times. And also, I think that we should be sleeping in little hammock cocoons that have enough...
Yeah, don't sleep on decks. Sleep below decks.
Little hammock cocoons that have enough room at the top that they'll just swing around normally upside down and be fine.
In my head canon, as Mori is realizing, oh, that's right, we go weightless and then gravity's upside down. You're going at a speed that's fast enough that, like, well, most of you are doing just fine, but in the background, you just see Utashi is like rising up. Mm-hmm. With all of the shinies still wrapped around them, going off in different directions in zero G.
And someone's reaching out and grabbing her and pulling her down to the deck, and then she rises up, and someone's reaching out and grabbing her and pulling her down to the deck. Mm-hmm.
And don't get us wrong. Oh, by the way, Jen made me laugh, so Utashi has inspiration.
Awesome.
Utashi is still carabinered, so worst case scenario, Utashi's just like... like the small child on a leash. Yes. It depends on how long the leash is. It's and how long the railing is between the supports. So you just see Utash just like gliding past in the background while people are having other conversations.
Sorry, the gliding.
This is short-lived.
Because
then gravity flips, and shortly afterwards, the ship flips. Some of your stomachs don't stop flipping.
It happens. We'll get used to it eventually.
Oddly enough, righty, lefty, smallest kep, and the cow skull do not worry about losing their lunches.
Weird.
That's because to have a lunch, they have to have it, like, wired onto them. They can't lose it. It's integral.
Smallest Kep enjoys eating small morsels of bread. Technically, you only can eat smallest Kep one morsel because they can eat it more than once.
Exactly. It's adorable.
Oh, that's a 20. Acrobatic skill check. Is that to not have to worry about the fact that gravity went away and then came back backwards?
Yes.
You didn't even need the carabiners.
Yeah. Bipaki is pacing around the deck and not really thinking about the gravity. Just like, oh.
Well, you have that flying deck. So Bipaki, for a brief period of time, is on the flying deck, but on the other side of the flying deck.
Upside down on the flying deck.
Uh-huh. Yeah, arms crossed behind her back, just looking around and inspecting the ship. Like, yep, that's holding up pretty well. Then Bipaki walks casually over to one of the walls, and as the ship flips around, walks to the wall, then back down onto the floor.
And as always, on a ship, Bipaki is in her element.
Ship, the fifth element.
Narrator voice, for the rest of the campaign, they had to leave the Shrike ship behind.
Ship. land, air, space. Long ago, the four nations lived together in harmony.
Everything changed when the ship nation attacked. That was the Elf Armada. It was orbital bombardment. It was bad. It did change everything. Yeah. Oh no, the Shrike ship is Kuzco. Not Kuzco.
Boom, baby.
Zuko. Zuko.
Zuko? Oh no.
Yeah. It, one side of it has a char mark on it. You've never been able to get rid of it. Prostate, my honor.
Yeah, no, but Baki is just absolutely at home on this ship.
Mari is not.
Yeah, no. That's why I developed the. That's why I had the villagers develop the cables and the carabiners. All right, so we plummet
gracefully
into the. Oh no!
With style,
or not?
That's the wrong button. That was supposed to be a Constitution save, not charisma. But it's a nat one either way.
Oh wow!
Mori. It does not look fantastic when she is losing her constitution over the side of the ship.
Oh, bold of you to assume that it was over the side. There will be some swabbing of the decks.
And oh, no.
Well, that's what we have the cobalt harvesters for.
It's when you went zero G. So it's not just the decks.
Oh, well.
Long cap has prestidigitation. It's fine. It's all fine. The decks have never been cleaner.
Prestidigitation is a very useful thing.
I'll be honest, I wasn't even going to make Papaki roll for Constitution saves because Sailor.
I figured it'd be fun if she did.
Like, Papaki casually stands everywhere Papaki needs to be, but also Papaki has a nice little paper bag that is folded over twice neatly. I'm going to say that
what are we rolling?
10 is the target number. People are rolling Constitution saves to see if they puke.
Oh, Utashi.
Poor Utashi.
Oh, no.
Utashi is a vomiting constellation.
Oh, no.
Papaki will have provided Utashi with a paper bag.
Okay.
At first, Utashi's poor. Like, what's this for? And then Utashi realizes, oh, that's what it's for.
Papaki will have provided everybody with a paper bag. Because regardless of where we go, the rolling of the ship does not sit well with everybody.
With a nat one, I am saying Mori did not manage to grab the paper bag fast enough.
Yeah.
Poor Mori.
Oh.
Utashi, with the roll of three, did manage to grab the bag fast enough. Whether or not Utashi realized that the paper bag was for this specific purpose is up to Jen. So it might be that Utashi apologizes. Sorry, I did a bad thing in the paper bag.
It might be that, yeah.
No, that's what they're for.
That's what they're for?
When we get where we're going, throw it into the lava. They value organics.
Okay.
Actually, we don't. It takes a lot more to process organics.
All right. When we get to where we're going, throw it outside. The mushrooms value organics.
We do, in
just
fact,
don't hit a
appreciate
dragon.
Appreciate it.
What did you that? Say?
That was Bog Chipped Claw agreeing.
The organics appreciate it.
Yeah.
So long as it's low in protein, that does not compost well.
I don't know. We're kind of semi-carnivorous. We need to watch out for hitting dragons. That's the downside of bringing the shrike ship, is that the skies had a lot of dragons in them last we saw.
This is true. So we're going to need Papaki to make some type of role for piloting. The question is,
casual.
How do we make Papaki roll for this?
I don't know.
You're connected with the ship. Performance?
Am I convincing the ship or am I flying the ship?
Yes.
I suppose it doesn't matter.
That doesn't help much.
Can I add my water vehicle proficiency to this?
Yes. because it would require additional things in order for it to be a air vehicle proficiency. So I'm just going to say, well, yes, it's that, but 3D instead of 2D. All right. Well, that's a 23. So when you come out the other end, it is not a volcano. It's an inverse volcano. It's a funnel, which means you're not popping out at the top of a mountain surrounded by dragons. You're in a hole. Above you might be surrounded by dragons, but you're in a hole. You stay low to the ground and then go whizzing either as close to the treetops as possible or in some cases below the treetops because collapsible wings.
I'm going to have to nap on the earth this one, but...
The earth is taking a nap?
I don't know why it's called that.
Maybe they mean nape.
But it really...
nape of the earth.
Possibly. But it really is like... When you fly like this, it's called nap of the earth.
Uh-huh. But it's not taking a nap.
So you can't go at max speed when you're flying below the treetops. But...
Right.
You'd be doing the speeder chase from... Return of the Jedi, if you were.
Right.
As
you and I were thinking the same thing.
As fun as that would be, that's not end up well for most of those involved in the speeder chase.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm only doing that when I have to. Like, if I see a dragon that looks like it's got eyes on us, then I'm dropping below the skyline.
There is at least one case where smallest cap has like multiple leaves stuck between its rib cage and like over its face because of a low hanging branch that's thwacked it. A very large twig is between its teeth.
The Pocky has the grin that people kind of associate with difficult navigation.
Smallest cap, using the tiniest of carabiners, stomps over. Okay. So it's not actually a stomp, but everyone who sees it understands that it's meant to be a stomp. Over to Long Cap and presents the stick that was stuck between its teeth. As if to say, look what I am forced to deal with. Do something about this. Also, my food dish is empty. I can see the bottom.
But you do not eat.
It's also not Smallest Cap's food dish. They sort of appropriated it.
Oh, no.
Somewhere in the background, Sori says, hey.
I'm what using my, that. I make what ingredients happened to my bowl? In it.
It was on the table. I was keeping loose screws in that. I'm an artificer. I was building things.
Oops.
It was small nuts and bolts. Smallest kept thought it was assorted nuts.
Close enough.
That's fair.
They're high in iron.
No, that's the play. That's the players. We're the assorted nuts. Thank you.
All right. So you're able to reunite with Deza, who was called Desi. I don't know if Deza once.
Bipaki did not remember her name.
That's valid. There's a reason why the DM has notes. And 314, full name Koba Artificer 0512-00000314. That might not be the right number of zeros, but 314 doesn't always remember the right number of zeros to begin with. You're fairly sure it's a different number every time they say their name. Is also there. And good news, they do have a Kobot forge created as well, which basically looks like a giant robotic dragon that lays eggs that turn into Kobots.
I feel Bipaki. Like that poor red dragon, that must be very surreal. Bipaki. Sorry.
Bipaki brings the ship in at speed and then it slows down. Like, you know when your friend is too hard on the brakes and just goes right up to the stoplight and then... hits the brakes way too late.
And everyone moves forward a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And drinks slosh.
Bipaki lands the ship and folds the wings in and unclips herself from the railing. All right. Everybody survives the trip. Nobody go overboard?
No. Don't think so.
I'll let you know in a bit.
Uh-oh.
That's fair.
Let me know when it stops moving.
In theory.
In about 5 minutes. Everybody else off the ship.
When Mapaki says in about 5 minutes, this is accentuated by the ground underneath the Shrike ship shifting a little bit underneath the Shrike ship's weight.
Yeah, that tracks.
Everyone can hear the white knuckle grip that Mori has.
Yeah. The Mapaki has folded the wings in to make the ship's silhouette smaller. Mostly so they can fit in a smaller space. But she will reassure Mori that it'll be over soon. And since she has no spells to or abilities to do anything, her medicine is +1. And it is the lowest of her skills. She will she'll leave that to someone else. If anyone else has anything they can do, you know, now's the time. And heads down out to the forge.
Okay. As you are going towards the edge of the ship to climb down, you see that there's a lot of vines that are covering the side of the ship.
I thought that video platform was dead. What do these do?
Fuck?
I didn't know we were carrying advertisements.
A bunch of vines rise up and form into something vaguely kobold-shaped. Oh, it's you.
Hi, Bog.
Welcome back.
You know this guy?
Uh-huh. This is what happens when a kobold becomes a druid for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. I think he's from my clan. I think.
Uh-huh. Bog, uh-huh. Chipclaw, at your service. And I prefer your story to what actually happened.
Hey, if it's the story you prefer, it's the story I'll go with. Hey, I'm a Pocky. And she sticks out her hand.
You shake a facsimile of a hand.
Okay. Bipaki is immune to weird at this point. At least as far as the forms of people go.
The only person in this group who is not immune to weird is Mori, who's just going from one PTSD moment to the next.
Yeah, that's fair. Thing.
Yes.
Yeah. She is not having a good day.
Mori is the outside audience going, this is my first episode and what's happening in this? You said they're all kobolds, but there are only two kobolds here. I'm pretty sure that's a lizard folk. And why is there a cow skull painted pink?
Because they didn't have prestidigitation to do it. That's why.
Also, it lasts longer if you paint it.
QED.
Well.
All right, Bob. Yeah, we came from the surface. We're checking in on Desi.
Deza.
Okay. Just want to see how things are going, you know.
Another ship's coming. I mean,
yeah, that too.
I was telling Deza that in messages, but I don't know if she remembered to tell anybody else.
Was passed along.
Oh, good.
Every now and then, Deza comes out to converse with me. I do not tend to go in. The heat does not agree with me.
That is fair.
Yeah, imagine you're a plant person, so
yes. If you don't mind, I will leave the vines. They help to break up the ship's silhouette a bit more, make it harder to see from aerial searches.
Oh, good thinking. I'll let you know when we're ready to depart.
I will be here. And the vines sort of, you want to say they melt away? But melt is the wrong word.
Yeah. They do the cinematic vine thing.
Yes. Conveniently, the vines are forming a staircase.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Hey,
your friend is really considerate. Mm-hmm. I was just going to jump off, but
Utashi will bounce down the steps of the vines as all the little shinies clack around her.
Utashi will be rolling all stealth checks at disadvantage for the rest of the campaign.
Uh-huh.
You know, less damage this way. And, you know, I hate having to go to the physical therapist for my knees.
Processing.
It's just, anyway.
You would have taken 2d6 points of falling damage.
Well, good to know. Ship.
Processing.
Nobody but the list of names I'm about to give you should be able to tell you to lift off. And I give the ship the a list of the names of the people who... it's basically the PCs and Mori.
We can say later they would have been on the list to retcon anything that we forgot about.
Mm-hmm. Zipaki realized halfway through saying it that she didn't want to say the people present because that would include Bog.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Bog wants to go on the ship.
I'm acrophobic.
We don't want Bog to suddenly withdraw the vines and tell the ship take off.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's head awkward.
For once, Bapaki is thinking ahead.
All right, so you are able to reunite with Deza. And I say reunite because most of you were adventuring with Deza earlier, but also it wasn't
that
hard to ship.
You?
The angel ship that brought you all here wasn't that large, so technically you would remember Deza. And you can have a delightful conversation with yourself if you wish to, but I'm not going to require that. We can just say it happens.
Somebody obviously owes somebody else money.
Yeah, let's say it happens.
All right. So you get to
have... I will let the audience decide whether what Beth said was canon or not.
The question is, who owes who money? And is it a gambling debt? And was there cheating involved? Oh, I know. It was a contest to see who could tell the best story. They still don't agree who won.
Deza's not any fun to play cards with anymore now that she can remember everything that she sees.
Oh my gosh, Deza's a built-in card counter. Mm-hmm. Look, all I'm saying is that's the 18th ace you've played this game.
Statistically improbable.
And there's only three of them in the discard pile. And I'm pretty sure they're from me.
What are you throwing your aces away for?
Oh, no, you keep reusing them. Reduce, reuse, recycle. It's economical.
Mm-hmm. So, what have you been up to?
I got some shinies. You want one?
You keep them.
Okay.
I'll take one.
Okay, here you go.
All right. 314 takes it and gives it to their pet Cobot Harvester.
Aww.
Yes. 2097152 is the pet Cobot Harvester. It is just a regular harvester. It acts like a regular harvester.
As far as we know, it has not turned sapient or weird sapient.
Harvesters tend not to. It's a matter of processing power.
Yeah.
Therefore, as far as we know.
Yes. And keep in mind, the GM said tend not to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've been making, you know, cobots.
And they're fixing the bridge.
Lots of them.
And repairing vital infrastructure.
That's kind of fun.
Just not that one volcano.
Yeah, we would really prefer that not get connected to the global magma network. That would cause problems.
Like taking the freight ship back?
Well, also the volcano would start erupting, and that would frankly draw attention, because that volcano has been assumed dead for what was it? How many thousands of years?
Eons.
Yeah, so a lot of thousands of years.
When the current gods rose up and defeated the old evil gods, it's really weird to be describing them that way right now, but the old gods were evil. That caused pretty much all the Ashlands, except for the ones that were caused before then.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing with him. Don't. She makes a gesture with her hands. So, anyway, why don't you go ahead and come inside? It's nice and warm in here, and well, we've got everything, you know, working factory spec, so to speak. What's the name of the red dragon?
Oh, I don't know.
I have forgotten the red dragon's name because I did.
Uh-huh. In red dragon is Severusa?
No, that's the god.
Severusa? Wrong?
That's a god. Skadrid.
Okay, I have no idea then.
I don't remember and it's bothering me.
I know someone who can look it up.
Is it me?
No. I mean, maybe, but no, but maybe.
Anyway.
All right. PC names.
Bracket Red Dragon end bracket is out on patrol at the moment, but I'm sure he'd be pleased to see you. We're all just doing our jobs and strengthening the, well...
And no glaciers Smedin. Have come to mess with you? Smedin!
Smedin.
Oh.
Smedin is out on patrol, but I'm sure he'd be happy to see you. We have been, you know, he and I have talked to a couple other dragons about how the dragon gods are imposters.
Oh, she's so nice.
Well, you know, I hear stories, and I hear that the white one is well,
a problem.
But I wasn't going to say it, but I guess it has been kind of spreading that maybe someone else would be a good idea for, you know, gods for the planet.
Dizah would like to throw her hat into the ring.
No, I don't. That was I don't want to be a god. I.
But what if somebody asks you if you are a god?
I would say no. Because I'm not.
Gozer would like to have words with you.
Why would I say I'm a god? Anyway, you know, a couple of the dragons nearby have come around to the idea that maybe, you know, the really big ones aren't the most powerful beings in existence. So, you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe they won't hurt us as much when, like the plan is to still to overthrow the dragon gods, right?
I don't know. The fire one was kind of nice.
Oh, you talked to them?
Uh huh.
Oh,
there was a vision. She seemed nice. I mean, obviously she's nice because she wants something, but I mean she was being nice about it. So that's really logical, right?
Right.
The white one's mean, though. The white one sent a glacier after us.
Yeah, I have heard about that.
I did mention.
Wait, a glacier?
A glacier. Walking.
I heard like a giant.
Yes.
So, a glacier and a giant?
I think
there's no and.
Very large ice elemental.
Yeah.
No and.
Oh, okay. Okay, I get the picture.
Maury is saying this from one of the stone chairs in the forge.
Mm-hmm.
Maury is just luxuriating in this structure that does not move.
Being able to sit down.
And is made of the ground. It just stays there and has been there for longer than any civilization Maury knows of. And Maury finds this so comforting that it was made by robotic kobolds from a bygone era is irrelevant and should not be brought up.
Yeah, I taught a couple kobots to cook. Do you want something to eat?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'll tell them to go start making food. Anyway, so we should
We should probably talk about that ship that's coming, huh?
With that,
they're going to be on the outside, and none of us are on the outside.
With that,
wow.
Sori gets ascending. Hello? Hello, is this thing on? It's Old Cap. We're here. Where are you? Over.
And that's where we're going to end it.
Good night, everybody. I mean, the recording says 2 hours, 23 minutes. So, yes, this is where we're going.
Yeah. That's fine.
Thank you, everyone, for that. I have a sense for these things at this point.
Mm-hmm. Also, the episode is named Reinforcement, so I had to introduce them at some point.
Yeah, fair.
But I didn't want to interrupt.
Does anybody have anything
we're creating?
Does anybody have anything they want to plug?
Perhaps Beth or Ellie or Io or Jen, who've been playing with tonight?
I do know that Io's mom writes books.
At ElizabethMcCoy.com. I really ought to put the...
Finally.
Stuff.
Yep.
And speaking of websites...
My website is bookofjen.net. It does have some book reviews. I got to put some more up there. I read faster than I can put it into my blog. That's it, bookofjen.net. I'm also the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, and you can find new episodes every Saturday at shatteredsoulstone.com.
And speaking of other websites, because I did it wrong.
Things, the segue has to change to accommodate, or better yet, what if it didn't? So our website is aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. That's where all of these podcasts go, including D&D podcasts and GURPS podcasts and Cypher System podcasts. If you want to follow us on the Fediverse, go to is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. And if you wish to throw money at us, go to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on, just like other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy.
Yeah, speaking of people who aren't here, until next time, that is Crash saying...
Right, so I heard you say you're inside the planet. Which volcano do I go in? This glowing one or that glowing one?
No!
And we got a message. We're on the inside of the planet. We'll come back out soon. Nice blue dragon in middle of Ashlands. The best part is there's technically more than one Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
More than one continent was laid to waste. Anyway.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Bye.
Like saying, we're in the building. Which one? The big one. You're in a city. They're all big buildings. The one with lots of windows. There's a big road outside. I see a bus. Good night.
Wrong planet.
That's the kicker. It turns out Oldest Kep went to the Discworld one.
Oh no.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
There's this nice guy who calls himself the Patrician.
Wrong planet.